your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Very excited to welcome Meredith Mahoney, president at Lantern. Lantern is an on-demand cannabis marketplace and home delivery service built by the team behind Drizzly. And Meredith, it's so great to have you on the show.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. So, you know, Meredith, you have quite an amazing career and track record, really building amazing lifestyle brands from the ground up. And working in very fast-paced, high-growth environments. And obviously, we all know that cannabis is growing at such a tremendous speed. And I'm just curious, like, you obviously have this incredible career, you know, from most recently being at Wayfair and Follin, but what was it that got you to decide to move into cannabis?
Well, I have, as you mentioned, sort of this common thread throughout my career, which has been direct-to-consumer, really strong brand-driven e-commerce experience. Actually, before that, brick-and-mortar retail experience. And I've worked in a lot of different categories. And the thing that I love to do is solve hard consumer problems and create really interesting customer journeys, whether that's, you know, omnichannel or digital, or, you know, really today it all mixes together. And cannabis is the perfect industry to do that. I mean, we are all kind of in the beginning stages of this industry. Consumers are new to the category, even if they've been in the illicit market for years. Many are new to the legal market as states legalize. It's hard to know what to buy. There's no standardized brands. How do you create customer trust? How do you create an environment of shopping that there's no stigma and it feels really natural and familiar? So those are all the things I love to do. And I've done them in furniture and beauty. And this, you know, when I heard about the opportunity through knowing the founders of Drizzly, it just became so apparent that it was going to fit right into, you know, what I wanted to do with my career.
Awesome. Yeah. So I think, you know, Lantern being kind of the team behind Drizzly, and we all know and love Drizzly. Talk to us a little bit about like the story behind it. Obviously, you know, home delivery service is great for so many different things. Cannabis even better. But what was it that kind of percolated the idea with the founders?
Great question. So I'll start with Drizzly, but that's brief, but it's really, really important to the founding of Lantern. So there's two of three founders are still in the Drizzly business. They founded the company and they founded Drizzly in 2012. And I should mention, great guys, two of the best people I've ever worked with. And really, that's an important note. Like in this industry, you meet like some of the best people. And I'm lucky to be working with two amazing founders. But the idea in 2012 was like, why can't you get alcohol delivered? And the founders wanted to solve that. So they spent the next 8 years building the technology to enable really quick, efficient, flexible delivery. It was a consumer first approach. Like you didn't shop the liquor store first, you shop your brands first. That's how people shop. They want the alcohol they want. They also spent those years creating really deep regulatory relationships across the country. They did things right. They didn't cut corners. They really like followed regulations, fit into the industry. And all of that led up to 2018, when it was really apparent that they had something valuable and scalable, and they were ready to go apply it to a new category. We're based in Massachusetts, and 2018 was the year that market here in Massachusetts was just starting to operationalize.
Right.
And so, you know, they're like, hey, let's apply this to cannabis right here in our backyard. And took a little time, as you know, nothing moves fast in cannabis, just to get the companies created and the governance pieces all in place. But by say the fall of 2019, all of that was set. And one of the founders peeled off the Drizzly business, started it with one engineer. I came in about a month or two later. And we thought we just had something really important to bring to consumers, which is a marketplace first approach. It doesn't really exist out there in a way that's focused on consumers. You know, we all know that in any consumer category, people shop marketplaces. Like you don't buy your paper towels from Bounty. You buy them from Target. You don't buy your mascara from CoverGirl. You buy it from Sephora. Mm-hmm. And so this is the way that cannabis will go, and it's starting to go. The regulations have lagged a little bit around delivery and third-party tech and all the things that make marketplaces tick. And during that lag, you've seen the dispensaries really kind of take the market share around getting your cannabis conveniently, whether that's in-store pickup or delivery. But that's, at the end of the day, not how people are going to shop, which is our thesis, is that people are going to shop brands first. They're going to want to shop in a way you can compare prices. You can get it when you want it, whether that's now or tomorrow. And so, yeah, I mean, one of the great pieces of this story is that Drizly announced recently they're going to be acquired by Uber for over $1 billion, one of the biggest e-commerce exits in the U.S. and in history. And it's just, you know, very, very deserving founding team. And we're hoping to follow in their footsteps and make it even bigger.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I think from a legalization perspective, obviously, you know, in various states, you know, has to be okay for delivery. But I mean, I'm almost thinking from down here in New York, like, wow, what an opportunity that is to come. I think one of the growing themes that we've had on the show, obviously, this past year has been crazy for so many people. You know, from the pandemic to some businesses truly thriving while others really just not thriving at all. Cannabis obviously was one of those sectors that, you know, was designated, you know, an essential business. That has really kind of changed the game quite a bit as we've seen more and more states legalizing just this past year. But I think from a safety concern, a lot of people who were, you know, purchasing cannabis, whether it's medical or recreational, probably were not very comfortable leaving their homes during the pandemic. And so obviously you guys have this incredible opportunity from a delivery perspective, but like, what was the demand like through the pandemic? Like we had Uber on the show, Uber Eats, Travis Freeman about 2 weeks ago. And obviously the demand for Uber Eats was through the roof. I can't imagine what it was like for you guys on the cannabis side.
I mean, it changed things in an instant. It accelerated something that would have happened anyway, but it accelerated it by, I would say, probably 18 months to 2 years. It just immediately became the way people needed to get cannabis. I think what's interesting, though, is delivery is always how people have gotten their cannabis, you know, before legalization. Always. That's how you got it. And so it's an entrenched behavior. I heard someone once say delivery is the past, present, and future of cannabis. And it's true. You know, unlike alcohol, we don't need to teach our consumers about delivery. They know it. Mm-hmm. For Lantern in particular, we were just getting the business off the ground during that time. And, we're based in Massachusetts where, adult use cannabis was not considered an essential business. And it really, really
early on. Yeah.
Kind of like cut everyone off at the knees here. But delivery is here to stay. And, you know, as I mentioned a minute ago, it's a really important consumer behavior across a number of categories. People just want their products brought to their door. And cannabis is no different.
So let's talk a little bit about Lantern in particular. And when you think about, you know, I guess you could call it what, your brother or sister, Drizly.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously Drizly doesn't like actually touch the alcohol, just delivers it. And Lantern doesn't, you guys don't grow any cannabis products either, right? You just deliver it.
Right. We don't, we're non-plant touching. We're an ancillary software business.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah. You know, from a licensing, you know, perspective, like what do you guys have to go through, at least from like a compliance side? And, you know, I know that there's every category when it comes to operationalizing cannabis, whether it's delivery or retail, there are a whole set of regulations that go into place there too. So like, what are some of the things that you guys have to go through in order to get this done?
Yeah. So, we're not licensed in any way. We don't touch the product. We also don't transact the orders. The dispensaries do that. But we act as if we're a licensed company. We're really, really cognizant of, you know, compliance, and the way that our site is shopped is, you know, in some states regulated by the state. Advertising is always very top of mind. We have to be really on top of the way we're advertising, the way we're talking about our service. I think an important part of what we do is the last mile. We don't actually employ the drivers because they need to be, in some states where the retail drivers do it, they have to be employed by the retailer under a retail delivery license. In other states like Massachusetts, it has to be done by a third-party licensed delivery company. Even though we don't employ those drivers, we're really, really involved in the supply, I guess, the supply chain of that piece of the customer order. So, we run an incubator program in Massachusetts for third party delivery, entrepreneurs, that are social equity applicants. In Denver, we are partnering with a nonprofit there to run an incubator around delivery as well as retail licensing. And we're also just getting one off the ground in Detroit. So sort of a segue to your question here. We are working as a really important part of our day-to-day go-to-market strategy around social equity initiatives, around entrepreneurism in third-party delivery. We're lobbying for it. We think it's really important. It's also good for the retailers. If the retailers have third-party delivery as an option for delivery, it's it just makes things really efficient, gives them optionality, and honestly is great for the customer.
Awesome. So I think from a marketing standpoint, I'm always curious and, you know, talking to folks as far as their, you know, different models. So like from a customer acquisition perspective, how are you guys really getting more consumers to actually use the product and getting them to come back? Are you guys doing any advertising? Like, what is the model there when it comes to acquisition?
So I will not beat around the bush. Like, marketing's hard in this category. And yeah. I'm sure for your CMO community here, yeah. like they will plus one me on that. We, as you know, don't have any of the traditional paid performance marketing channels available. All of the marketing is very, very upper funnel. It's out of home and community building and press and earned media and all of that. And the good news is when people find Lantern, they stay. We have phenomenal retention metrics. People order more often than we thought they would. They spend more. They order more items than we had planned. So people love the service. You know, when you're building a brand, the first few years of brand building are frankly like expensive and hard. And I think that's one of the reasons we're really well positioned to grow is I've got myself and my team, we're small but mighty, but we've got a really, really deep well of expertise in digital marketing, not just digital marketing, but marketing e-commerce businesses and strong brands. I think the other piece, so in addition to delivery, which is a really important component of what we do, we're also positioning ourselves to be the place that you go to discover and discover products and discover the right match for you. So we're building tools that help you understand what products are right for you, what dosage, what cannabinoids. If you want to try a new format, what's the best place to start? And then once you have tried a few things, creating that personalized loop back to you to be able to help you continue your cannabis journey. For everyone, honestly, like if you're new to the market or you've been a longtime consumer, but you're just looking for a great price or a new product, we're the place to come. And then you can get that delivered to you, you know, at your convenience when you want it. So I think we have a lot to offer, and I think the consumer needs Lantern. There's not another, while there's other places to go online and buy cannabis, they're not consumer first. They come at it from different angles. And so getting the word out there is hard, but once people hear about it, they're very sticky.
Awesome. Now, I know this is very timely, but you are also going to be on a panel for South by Southwest with Nicole Cosby, who's our Chief Data and Compliance Officer and all around amazing human being.
Yes.
And, you know, you guys are really talking about, you know, transparency and equity and access to cannabis. Like, give us a little bit of insight on what you guys are going to be talking about, because I know a lot of people who listen to this show are also going to be tuning in.
Yes. I mean, big, big plug for that panel. I was humbled by the amount of talent and intellect, and just the people around me on that panel were incredible. Yeah. I mean, it's no secret that cannabis has treated different people, you know, inequitably in this industry, and not just in the industry historically. I mean, I'm a white woman of privilege, and I can freely talk about my cannabis consumption on podcasts, and not everyone in this country has that opportunity. And so, you know, I think for most people in the industry, social equity is an important topic. The way that we think about it and the way that we address it is really through creating opportunities for generational wealth in communities of color through starting businesses. So myself, my team, the co-founder, we're all startup people. We've started and been successful and failed at a lot of startups collectively in our career. And I think we've got a lot of, you know, expertise among us. And so we're really, the way that we show up for this important topic is we incubate, accelerate, and mentor entrepreneurs of color in the cannabis space. And it's been incredible. I mean, the amount of talent that's out there, we would be fools in this industry not to include that community in a really meaningful and honestly, like, aggressive way. We need to make sure that we have the people that are starting these businesses at the table and really kind of like lending their expertise to us.
Awesome. So from your perspective, really, you know, obviously coming from the traditional brand world, right, and the lifestyle brand world, what's your favorite thing about being in the cannabis space?
There's so many things. I think that there's an incredible opportunity to bring a brand to market that destigmatizes the category, that makes cannabis fun and interesting and accessible and familiar. And I think that's Lantern. I mean, I think that there's a lot of great new brands hitting the scene that kind of hit all those points. And I think, you know, stoner culture is great and a lot of people like that. And that's historically kind of been where brands have lived. But the brands and, you know, the product brands and the retail brands that have come out in the last few years have just been really, really incredible. And I mean, I just think about, like, our kids are, you know, I'm a little older, I've got teenage daughters, like, my kids won't think about this in the way that we do if we do our job right. Like, exactly. They will think about it like they think about alcohol.
Exactly.
And they'll be thinking about, like, how can psychedelics be illegal? How is that possible? Let's, you know, decriminalize those.
That's next, Meredith.
That's right.
That's next. I'm a huge fan, actually. Like,
yeah.
And this has come up quite a bit on, like, a lot of the shows, but, you know, obviously we've seen this incredible surge, you know, in kind of cannabis acceptance, but now we're starting to see this also with, like, psilocybin and microdosing and, like, you know, you're not high, but it's really treating all sorts of different conditions and anxiety and depression and traumatic brain injury and all these great things. And I feel like this is kind of the, you know, it's the beginning of a lot of wonderful things, which is really great.
I agree. I mean, it's so fascinating. Just to be part of this is just such a, I'm so lucky to be part of this. I wake up every day and think that, and, you know, to be at this stage and working with the people I work with inside my company and externally, it's just, I pinch myself and can't believe I get to do this every day.
I know. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So Meredith, you know, you've provided so much great insight on the show, and obviously, you know, you guys have a fantastic company and you're a great leader. And, you know, on the show, we talk a little bit about business in the beginning and then we end with some, you know, quick fire questions to get to learn a little bit more about our guests. So are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay. So
yeah.
Very easy. If you could be any animal, what would it be and why?
Well, I have a new pandemic puppy and I watch her all day and think that she has the best life because all she does is sleep, eat, get loved on, and she goes on hikes and runs. And that's pretty much my whole life. So, or my ideal life. So I think I probably would be a pandemic puppy.
Yeah. Dogs have really made out this year for sure. They've got the best lives ever.
Yeah.
And well, yeah, they make they make our lives so much better too. I've been so happy to not have to travel and have my dog all day long sitting next to me in the office. It's great. What's your favorite hobby?
Biking. I rode bike quite a bit.
What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
Oh my gosh. It's probably not that strange. I don't like weird meats. So let's just answer the question.
Mystery
the weirdest
meat?
Thing I've ever eaten is not that weird. It's probably like squid or something. I don't know.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
What's the most interesting thing that you have right now in your purse? I mean, do you even have a purse now?
No, but
I have to rephrase that because most of us don't even leave, right?
Well, I don't know if it's strange, but I never leave home without a toothbrush. My mom was a dental hygienist, and I get a lot of anxiety around clean teeth, and I brush my teeth several times a day. So I never leave home without a toothbrush.
Okay. I like that. I like
that.
Okay. So last question, and I asked this one question the other day, but I find it fascinating. Pick up your iPhone or whatever device you have. If you have it in front of you, and I'm just curious, what was the last picture you took?
oh my gosh, this is such a great question. And I am looking at it right now. It was a picture of, this is so nerdy. It's a picture of a spreadsheet. It's a picture of a spreadsheet because I had only one screen and I had to reference two things at once.
That's so funny. It's always funny actually seeing what's, I just looked on my phone and my last picture was 25 minutes ago. I took, I got sugarfish delivered. And since I live out in the Hamptons, I don't get sugarfish anymore. Now I'm in the city and I took a picture of it and it looks just as delicious as when I ate it.
I feel that I might've just created an image of myself where I'm being a really interesting person. And then it all unraveled with that photo question.
Well, this was awesome, Meredith. It was really great having you on the show. And, you know, congrats on everything you're doing. Congrats on, you know, obviously really kind of tackling an amazing space and having an amazing product. And look forward to see all the great things that you guys are going to be doing.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It was really fun to talk today.
Same. All right, Meredith, take care.
Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.